Hi, I'm Spencer.
And I'm Blake.
And you're about to get jumped.
Welcome to a special end of the year episode of Blake and Spencer Get Jumped, a weekly podcast where we watch the anime so you don't have to.
But you should still totally watch the anime.
This year on Get Jumped, we watched an unbeatable king become obsessed with board games, clothes that give you superpowers, and a guy whose fighting style involves him growing a lot of bones.
Okay, hold on real quick. You're just not going to bring up the entire elephant in the room, Blake. It's 2020. There's really big news that happened that changed the entire world, and it's that I watched the entire first season of Black Clover, and it still continues to be terrible. How is this not on every news station? Take it to the presses, people.
Call the presses.
Call the presses. All the presses.
Stop the presses. Call the presses.
Juice,
press the presses.
Juice presses. Coffee presses. All the presses. Anyways, let's jump in.
I agree that was a momentous thing, but more that you just watched the whole first season rather than, I mean, your opinion on it didn't change at all.
Yeah, not at all. It wasn't a new experience in the slightest, other than that I had to watch more of it than I wanted to.
Was it like a full season of, like, you know, back before anime was seasonal, so it was like 50 episodes?
That's a lot of episodes.
Was that how many you watched, though?
I watched as many as the app told me was the first season of Black Clover.
Ah.
And then I immediately stopped.
Well, you know, that I applaud your tenacity, at least.
So, yeah, then I burned my phone down to the ground so that it would never have to relive its memory of it.
So here we are. It's, I guess, the day that we're recording this, it's still 2020. But for you guys, it is now 2021. So happy New Year. Congratulations. Probably this year will be better than last year. Let's cross our fingers and do our best. And for us on the podcast, if you're new, if you joined us this year and you are unlike me and you have to obsessively do things in chronological order and cannot listen ahead, then this might be your first end of the year special. So if you're new, welcome. And what we're gonna do, instead of covering the anime that we cover on our, you know, regularly scheduled weekly basis, and instead of doing a special crossover episode with a guest where we cover, you know, usually an anime movie, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the year that we had. We'll review the things that we covered. We also have a ranking of things that we're going to be revisiting. That was a first for last year. And, we'll just kind of look at what happened and enjoy the glow of the year that was, because, you know, it was kind of a shit year for everybody, but for our podcast, it was a pretty good year.
Yeah, it was arguably the most growth that we have ever had inside of the podcast. You could say that there was a huge amount of growth, like a sort of exponential growth, from the first time that we did a con and we had that first bump. But this time this year, we had the most sustained growth that we've ever had. This is speaking as somebody who looked this morning at our episode numbers. We went about mid-year this year. We did a re-release of our show, kind of a rebranding with our new logo, as well as doing some things different inside of the way that we did the podcast. After that happened, we saw a huge bump in numbers, and it's been kind of increasing and going up and up since then. To give you a feel of where the podcast is going and how it is doing, we started this year at a healthy I think it was near 40,000 downloads.
That's lifetime downloads.
We were approaching.
Is that lifetime downloads?
Yeah, so lifetime downloads. We were doing all right for a podcast.
Yeah, and
somebody,
for context, our podcast started releasing in July. So we are about 3.5 years old as of this taping. So this is our yeah. fourth end of the year special. We're in the middle of our fourth year. So that's pretty good numbers for at the time. What would that be? 2.5 years of recording.
Yeah. So we got to that point and we were pretty excited because, you know, it's a good build of a podcast. It's starting to get the feet underneath it. Podcasts are weird because they can grow insanely all of a sudden and just kind of pop off, or they can just slowly build over time. We are the second model.
I think that's the more common and, model too, unless you're like a big name or a you know, yeah. something like on NPR or one of those big release platforms.
Yeah, if you just kind of come out of nowhere, a lot of the time you're just going to slowly build because you're an unknown entity. And you don't also have the resources to just put your show everywhere all of a yeah. sudden. So everybody is just picking it up and there's a big wave at the very start.
Serial,
instead,
we are not.
We've... Yeah. So instead, we started building up and we've been pretty excited about it. And then we get about halfway through this year. I say that all to say that after the middle of this year, there was a big boost after we moved forward with that. So like I said, we were trying to approach 40,000 downloads by the middle of this year. That's about 3 years of podcasting, getting to about 40,000 downloads. And then we changed everything up and we are almost as of today at 80,000. So that is in half of a year everything that we did in 3 years.
Yeah, I was about to do some really quick and dirty math to indicate how exponential that growth is, and I think I'm just gonna fail badly. So, you know, doing 2.5 to 3 years worth of content in a half a year is a nice upgrade. And so that comes on the heels of us doing our rebranding, but it's also related to us joining the Geekly Grind this year as a podcast network. And yes. Because of joining the Geekly Grind, we also are releasing more episodes a week. We're averaging 2 a week instead of 1. And those episodes have a slightly different content structure, which I know just from having a few conversations with people in my life that are interested in anime, that some of those people are not that interested in our Friday episodes, but are very interested in our Monday episodes.
Yeah, it sort of runs the gambit of what people are super into and what people are not super into. I will say that we, as of this week, are very excited to say that we have 10 episodes. None of them are the weekly jump episodes that are over 1,000 downloads, 2 of which are over 2,000 downloads, woo-hoo! Which is really exciting. It also seems that there is random SEO value. Even things like there's an episode that's doing really well that's just called Anime LinkedIn yeah. as a joke title, and people are just like, LinkedIn and anime, that's something that I want to look at. And I'm just like, you idiots, you have to listen to us talk
yeah
now.
It's just a one-off joke we made in a random section of Hunter x Hunter, so congratulations, dummies, but also it's a yeah. good episode.
Yeah. With all that being said, it's been a very exciting year. We are really excited moving forward into the new year. If you are listening to this today on the new year and haven't listened to the Monday episode, just because you're usually a Friday episode only kind of person, shoot us over an anime meme. I'm or an anime GIF, whatever you wanted to do, onto our Twitter page. We are doing a giveaway from the Monday. You have until the end of this day in order to get it to me.
Hurry
and
it up.
Secretly, I might be, you know, yeah, I might push it out a little bit, but whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we're also coming tight, so we might have to push it out. So anyway, that's another thing too, is that we've had giveaways this year, and tell your friends, because we're giving away some really cool shit, and we're going to keep getting cool shit to give away, and we're not always getting a ton of response, and I think it's just because of where we are at a growth cycle in our podcast, and we're very much, you know, at the beginning of being a podcast that routinely gives things away, but it seems like we're going to keep getting shit to give away, which is very exciting. I'm not allowed to get the shit, so I'm very disappointed about that. So somebody needs to get it.
Blake has a box of our like giveaway stuff that was accidentally sent to him, and randomly he's like, you know, I could just keep this at the house. And I'm like, Blake, bring it to me. And he's just like,
no. I'm reading through it. I finished one. I've been putting it down on the Monday pots for, I've got my Monday reading covered for the next 2 weeks from finishing stuff. And I've got a lot of thoughts, but we won't go into those today. If you are not a Monday Pod listener, I would say the Monday episode we released this this week called Yearly Jump Number One, that is just like this episode. It's a rundown of our podcast for this year, but we're specifically focusing only on the stuff we covered on Mondays. And so if you have any curiosity, but you just haven't been able to pick up the Monday Pods for whatever reason, check that one out. It's a good summary of what we've done this year, so you can kind of get all of that quick and dirty, and then if anything piques your interest, then you kind of know what to go back and look for.
Yeah. With all that being said, what we do normally do here is jump into our normal coverage, but what we're going to be doing here instead, if you haven't listened to a yearly episode, is we're going to talk about the year that was inside of the animes that we've covered. I know that you have it marked down to do Yu Yu Hakusho first, but I would like to do our in memoriam first.
Sure. Yeah. We're going to spend the next little bit doing a rundown of all the stuff we covered this year with an asterisk. There might be some things that we leave off, but definitely all of our main shows, and we'll probably be talking about a decent number of our crossovers as well. And this is going to be kind of like when we do a previously on at the beginning of our regular episodes, except it's covering all of the plot from this year. So like when we get to Naruto at some point, we will not cover all of Naruto up to where we are, but we will cover all of
Naruto.
Oh, you
mean that we Naruto?
Huh?
Somebody posted a GIF of Naruto, except for it's just Naruto. It's just Naruto with a toe head. I saw the gif of it, and they had done it with like what is the name, there's some sort of computer generated tool that lets you replace people's faces with a different
like
thing.
Face swap or something.
Yeah, and it just follows the panel of it, whatever you've mapped the face to, and they just replaced it with a toe. It's just so stupid.
Sometimes the internet is a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Anyways, in our in memoriam this year, we only have one show, despite Blake's hardest efforts to get us to finish Hunter x Hunter.
Yeah, we're so close.
We
to
still
finishing
have one
it.
Episode to do of that. Instead, we just have Soul Eater, and man, I miss Soul Eater.
That's good.
I love the show that we replaced with Soul Eater, don't get me wrong, but man oh man, do I love Soul Eater so much. What happened this year on Soul Eater is that we had the big, big payoff of the show, which is arachnophobia and the terrible, terrible monster person that for some reason is also just a man that embodies you being a little bit crazy inside of the world.
Well, specifically you being afraid and that driving you crazy, but also maybe he's afraid, but it's not, I don't know.
Yeah, just whenever you're scared, just put your scares in a skin bag and then lock them up in the basement of Death Society.
I'm reading a manga right now that's kind of like that without the skin bag part.
Oh, well, good.
Yeah,
I guess.
I'll tell you more about it later.
But also, I don't know what that is, but whatever.
Yeah, it's called The Last Sayuki. It's all right so far. It's good. It's good. Yeah. It's just missing something, and I don't think it runs for very long.
Yeah. So if you don't remember what happened inside of Soul Eater, there is a school called the DWMA. It is a school of weapons and meisters. They are put there to defeat people that are turning into monsters. Think of them almost as hollows from Bleach, if your Bleach is your connection point to anime.
A lot of Harry Potter plus Bleach equals Soul Eater going on here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. There is a really epic showdown that is going to happen, and then a second epic showdown that is going to happen, and then arguably the most epic showdown that happens in the very end. So the first one that's an epic showdown is the battle between Maka and Medusa, and then Stein and, oh gosh, I think it's... Is it Stein and Medusa or Crona and Medusa? It all runs together for me in that final fight with Medusa.
In this year, it's when Medusa and Stein are fighting against Crona and Marie.
Yeah, yeah. And then after that, there is a battle between... I guess right before that, it's the battle between Asura and Death, which is also an epic showdown, which you just get the biggest, slappiest hands of all time. And then the final fight, which is just everybody team up against Asura. And man, oh man, I still hold that the part where we have Black Star unlock his full potential when fighting its Asura is probably the coolest part of that fight.
Black Star is always number one in my heart.
Yeah, the least cool part of that fight was Death the Kid, honestly. And the second best part of the fight is when Maka releases and shows that she can fight inside of... What is that form inside of Dragon Ball Super that it's like Super Instinct or something? Ultra Instinct? Basically, that's what...
I'm going to watch it because I think Dragon Ball is stupid fun, but I have not watched it yet.
Yeah, Dragon Ball Z is one of those shows that I was really into until it got to the Boo arc, and then I just checked out. And
you were
out.
Like, Boo!
And then I picked up the movie, the newest movie, which is good, and then the Dragon Ball one? Super.
Oh, I saw that in theaters like 2 years ago.
Yeah. The Dragon Ball Super show I've always equated to just a big giant crossover special inside of the Marvel universe.
Yeah, it's basically fan fiction,
or
right?
The DC universe. Yeah, it really reads a lot to me. Like, what is the name of the events that happen inside of the Marvel universe where they No, it's not What If. It's the one that has the Beyonder inside of it. There's one of them where Spider-Man teaches the Beyonder how to poop.
Oh, Secret Wars.
Secret Wars.
I hate that you said that and then I knew exactly what you were talking about.
Yeah. But anyways, that's what happened in the Marvel Universe, you guys.
CJ and Miles explain the X-Men for more.
Yeah, Jay and Miles Explain the X-Men, by the way, is our one of our penultimate guests and crossovers that we want to get to inside of our podcast.
The X-Men and Wolverine anime have now been placed on Net Not a Sponsor, so this year might be our opening.
Dude, I've reached out so many times. It's just I'm putting it out into the ether. Blake also did a dark deal with the devil to get Jeff from Mother's Basement on here. So I mean, I'm assuming at some point I'm just going to be signing a contract in blood.
Well, I mean, also Jeff off when we were off the air, I mentioned Super Eye Patch Wolf, and Jeff was like, "I'll tell him you're a good guy," and I was like, "Don't, I can't handle it."
But anyways, the fantastic fight at the end of Soul Eater is all going to wrap up in Maka making a final punch into the face of fear, showing that she is unafraid and destroying fear with a mighty, mighty punch that is beautifully animated. And that ends Soul Eater. And man, oh man, it's one of those shows that I wish I could just have more Soul Eater, yeah. But if I had more Soul Eater, I wouldn't have Fire Force, so I take my licks where they
come. Yeah, Soul Eater is one of those great shows that is, it doesn't really overstay its welcome. It just is what it is, and you get to the end and you're like, man, this was so good, I would love more, but also it's so good that I can get more by just rewatching it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. After that, we had our newest show, which is going to join us, which I believe was Kill a Kill, right? Yeah,
that was our Soul Eater replacement. Ironically, I don't know that I've ever thought of this. Maybe I said it early on and I just forgot, but, like, Soul Eater and Kill a Kill share a lot of DNA. Like, they are both high-quality animation shows with super frenetic battles and a huge sense of stylistic flair. That sort of takes away from, like, the air quotes realism of it all to focus on the stylization of the character designs or the world or whatever. They're not, as far as I know, they're not related in any major way. I don't think they're the same studio or anything. And of course, Soul Eater is a manga adaptation, although it's kind of like the original Full Metal Alchemist anime in that it tells its own story in the second half instead of following the manga. So someday we'll get Soul Eater Brotherhood, and I will be into that day. But, you know, they're not super similar on the back end, but they're both, like, high-octane action plus really, really good animation shows.
Yeah, yeah. I think Kill la Kill, where it really, really takes a big deviation from the way that Soul Eater is, though, is that Kill la Kill is very self-deprecating to the show that it is sort of based on and making fun of. It is very, very aware of its humor. It knows the thing that it is trying to parody and make fun of, and it is arguably one of the best anime at doing that, and doing it in a way that is, you know, infinitely watchable. If you don't remember what happens inside of Kill la Kill, we have a great main character. She's named Ryuku, or Ryoko, or Ryoku, or Ruku, or Raku.
You guys know how this works.
I believe I've said it in about 40 different ways before.
Yeah, if you take some of one of the ways you said it and combine it with some of one of the other ways you said it, you will have the correct way to say it.
Yeah, basically. She has arrived at a gigantic academy that is at the top of a city. The academy has enforced I would say it's a full-on iron grip over the city.
Yeah, this is actually, this is like actual totalitarian, authoritarian rule coming from the high school student council.
Yeah. and the way that they have been enforcing this is there are special powers that are granted to people through a kind of uniform that these people at the university or the academy put on. When they put on these uniforms, they become super, super powerful. Ryuko is going to find one of these sort of uniforms inside of the basement of her father and her childhood home. This one is a little bit different. One of the things that it does is it turns you through a Sailor Moon-esque super sexy change scene. And the other thing that it does is it makes you super, super powerful by absorbing your blood to make it more powerful. And this uniform is named Senketsu, or Senkets, or Sankutsu, or whatever the hell I wanted to call it. This show has been real bad about me mispronouncing things.
Yeah, maybe the worst if you accept all of his Naruto pronunciations as just a part of the charm.
Yeah, his name is Diar.
Someday once we're big enough, I'm going to commission somebody to do like a fan comic parodying you called Naruto. And that's just a long-term goal that I have in the back of my mind. It's not relevant to what we're talking about
right now. I'm just going to call him Naruto from now on.
How dare you, sir.
Calm down, calm down. Anyways,
Naruto
this,
and Suzuki.
This show. this show has given us some really, really fantastic battles, and by fantastic battles, I mean some of the best animated battles inside of all of anime. They're fantastic, fast, ridiculous, and really, I would say, some of the zaniest fights.
Yeah.
Almost cartoon-esque at a lot of points. And I understand that it is animated, so it is a cartoon, but what I'm talking about is, like, the Western version of cartoons, almost Looney Tune-esque, the way that they have these fight sequences and just ridiculousness. Imagine, you know, giant anvils falling out of the sky, and that would not be completely out of the norm for this show. Yeah. And there is a good back and forth. The last thing that we left off on was a beat-em-up fight between our main character and another one of the Elite Four from Pokemon, who who is fighting in place of the student body president. It's really interesting. It's a really fun show. I think that it's one that I'm probably going to be really upset when we finish, because I've been looking forward to these episodes every time we've come up to them. Yeah. But with that being said, that takes us to the next show that I want to cover, which we're almost at Good Riddance, which is
Hunter x Hunter. Oh, man.
Like, tell us about Hunter x Hunter.
All right, so Hunter x Hunter, obviously the world has these people called hunters, and they are, you know, super anime archaeologists and whatever the hell. You can specialize in whatever. Our main characters are Gon and Killua, who are two young kids who are, you know, super powerful and skilled and adept and whatever for their age. And they have become hunters, and they're on this journey sort of nominally to find Gon's father, although that is very much a backseat for most of the series. And they think that they're about to find his father when instead they find his father's ex-pupil that launches them into the arc that ruins the show for us. Although some people think it's the best arc. So it's very polarizing, and weirdly, now that I say that, nobody has been polarizing with us over it. Which is surprising at this point. But, you know, it is very polarizing, I would say. So the arc is called the Chimera Ants arc. Up until this point, it's been a relatively standard, if not surprisingly told occasionally, shonen battle series. At this point, it starts to really pull from horror elements, because the Chimera Ants are literal ants that eat other creatures, and then their offspring have the traits of the creatures that they ate. And unfortunately, they somehow start ingesting people, and that spawns a giant race of humanoid animal people with ant-like arms and shit. And they start threatening to take over the world. The Hunters Association, which is this universe's governing body, does not want them to take over the world, because if they do that, it is almost certainly going to be an extinction-level event for humanity, because the Chimera Ants eat a lot, and they are way stronger than the average person. So, there's also this one special Chimera Ant. His name is Meruem, although he does not know that. He is the Chimera Ant King, and there are three members of his royal guard that are around him to protect him and guide him into becoming the genocidal ruler of the world. Unfortunately for them, Meruem, on his quest to figure out how strong and smart and all the great things that he is, he meets a person that is his match. It's a young girl named Komugi, who is blind and snotty, not like has a bad attitude snotty, but like her nose is running all the time snotty. Who happens to,
like, legitimately one of her things inside of the show is that she is the snottiest.
Yeah, it should be gross. Somehow it's not really, but maybe your mileage may vary. So anyway, Komugi, she happens to be a game master, specifically the greatest player of a game called Gungi, which I believe is made up game that is similar to Shogi or chess. And so Meruem has been making his way through different masters of different board games. and has been really disappointed to find that all of the Masters are easily beaten. Basically, he plays a few games to get a handle for the rules, and then he completely trounces the Masters, and then he kills those Masters in disgust because they gave him no challenge, and because now that they are so easily beaten, they have no value. Komugi throws a wrench in that plan by super beating the shit out of him every time. She just has the unnatural ability to come up with really great plays all the time, to pivot around any strategy that he comes up with, etc. And he becomes...
It is actually her Nin ability, is to use this to become better and better at the game.
Yeah, in fact, so that she can stay a step ahead. Awakens her Nin ability. Like, they're so in it that she develops superpowers related to being better at the game. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, she's living the Queen's Gambit of this world.
Yeah, totally. so she and he start playing all the time. He becomes obsessed with playing her because theoretically he needs to play her until he can beat her to, you know, sort of continually reassert his dominance as the greatest strategic mind around. Unbeknownst to him, but kind of beknownst to his royal guards, him playing with her is teaching him about the value of humanity and also inspiring him to have humanity himself. And so essentially through becoming obsessed with playing this board game with this girl, he stops being a despot bent on, you know, world domination and genocide, and starts being a guy who can kind of take or leave being a ruler and who really just wants to play board games with his friends, which is very relatable. So, anyway, the hunters don't know.
I mean, we were both on track to become horrible despots that were going to take over the world with our regime of giving away things. And then we found like Magic the Gathering and Arkham Horror, and we were just like, well, we could do this, or we could sit down for a nice evening of board games and pizza.
Yeah.
So I vote for the latter.
Yeah, it's just an enticing proposition. And, you know, you usually don't have to murder as many people when you do the board game option. So,
yeah, the worst part about the other option was that you have to just eat so many people.
Yeah,
honestly, and you're just like going around.
It's exhausting.
Eating people.
I mean, who has time for cannibalism?
Yeah, and at some point you're just like enough is enough. I've got to really pare it down for the year. So let's sit down for a nice board game, and let's just kick up our feet.
Yeah.
Anyways, the end of this arc is Meruem. He first gets exploded by one of our favorite characters inside of the Hunter Association, the chairman of the Hunter Association, Netero. After that, he is brought back to health, but joke's on him. He was still poisoned.
The joke is that humans are the worst.
Yeah, and it turns out that he poisons everybody else, including his best friend slash love slash sister slash I don't know exactly what they are.
Komugi. Slash it's art. Read it how you want to read it.
Yeah, and they die next to each other while playing Gungi and both bleeding out from their all orifices because I guess that's how they're gonna die. And then we have a next set of episodes, which is leading to our final bit of show. The reason why we have to go into this is that Gon, in order to avenge Kite, he starts out not avenging Kite. What he's trying to do is he's trying to get Kite back.
Yeah.
But it turns out that Neferpitu is not able to bring him back to life. He has been dead. She killed him, or they killed them, whatever Neferpitu is.
Yeah.
So Gon releases all of his Nin, not just from now, but future selves of Gon as well, his life energy, and explodes all of his use of Nin basically for his entire
lifetime
in this one fight. Yeah, so because he releases all of it at one time, he becomes super powerful and is able to defeat Neferpitu in a total curb stomp. But the other thing that happens is that when he goes back to normal, Gon is basically dead. He is exhausted everything inside of his body. It is pulverized his body to the point where he is unrecognizable to the people around him.
He has no Nen anymore, yeah. And nobody can figure out how to fix it. He's done.
Yeah.
He's a vegetable, basically.
So the big thing about Nen that we didn't explain inside of this, but we've explained in ways beforehand inside of the show, is that it is a anime power system that has a very hard set of rules. And one of those rules is that if you are going to expand your Nen usage inside of a way that is outside of the bounds of what it should be able to do, there is a blowback that you have to sign off on. And the more extreme your sign off on something, the more powerful the Nen ability is.
It's kind of like equivalent exchange in Full Metal Alchemist, or like the contracts in Darker Than Black, but very, very serious in this instance because of the amount of power being contracted.
Yeah, we saw this earlier with Kirapika using a really, really powerful ability, and the charge for that ability was that he had to put his life on the line in order to use the ability. There was basically a part of his Nen chains were aimed at his heart, and if he went outside of the bounds of what he was using, it was going to stab him in the heart and he would die. And because of all of this ability, Gon basically signed a contract with his Nen to use all of it, and because of that he forfeit everything and put himself under what's ostensibly a Nen curse.
Yeah, if he weren't the main character, he would probably have had to forfeit his life in order to do this. But he is, so instead he just forfeited his ability to have a life.
Yeah. And the only way to get rid of this, because nobody inside of the Hunters Association can figure out how to do it, is that Killua has an ace up his sleeve, which is that he has a sibling who has the ability to grant wishes and heal people. And one of those things is horrible if you do it. And one of those things just needs you to be a good buddy if you do it.
Yeah.
And the heel one is the good buddy one, and the other one is a monkey's paw, and don't go into that door because it's dangerous.
There lies Wonder Woman in 1984.
I haven't watched it yet, but I hear terrible things.
Oh, I loved it. You know, it depends on your response. I think the criticism is largely valid, and just none of the criticism bothered me at all. And I absolutely thought it was delightful.
Yeah, I also think that you might be a little bit more biased than everybody else because, number one, it has one of the Chris's inside of the Chris universe want to be around.
Although he does not get shirtless and wet in this one, so that's a real thumbs down from me.
Also, you are a huge, huge, huge fan of Kristen Wiig, so yeah. Anything that she's in, you're going to be all in.
She's great, too. People don't necessarily... I don't think a lot of people like what they did with her character, and I don't completely understand that criticism, because I did like it, and I thought she did a great job. But also, I'm a sucker for superheroes. You gotta really fuck up for me to not enjoy your superhero movie, but I really enjoyed this one, and so did my husband. So it's a big thumbs up from the two of us, but you know, also the criticisms are valid, so it sort of depends on how you feel about this kind of thing as to whether or not you're gonna like it. So I actually don't know where you're gonna come down. I don't think... I'm confident you're not going to like it as much as us, but I am not confident that you're not going to like it.
Yeah, we got into a little bit of a slap fight about a movie earlier this year that was kind of on the fence like that. Blake enjoyed The New Mutants. I am with the rest of the world that hated The New Mutants.
Oh, because I think last time we talked about it, you hadn't seen it yet.
Yeah, I did, and it's awful.
Oh, really? God, we got to talk about this at some point, but not here.
not here. Anyways, so that's what happens with Hunter x Hunter. We are over, almost x over Hunter x Hunter.
Yeah, one x more x episode.
Yeah, x, we x are almost x there, so I have to fit in as many x's as possible before then. To annoy the people that are still annoyed that I do
it. Well, that's crazy because this is one of our premiere shows. And once it's over, we're only going to have one of our premiere shows left. And I think we should talk about that one next.
Yeah. So the other big, well, I mean, arguably it's one of our big four. It's our shows that we covered, since the beginning.
Yeah.
And we will continue to cover it until the, Earth dies from, the sun.
Yeah. Death. Once the universe has died of heat death, we will be near the end.
Yeah. And that is, Naruto.
So Naruto, what's cool about this year is that we
call him by his true name,
Nardo, Nardog. So Nardog, if you're reading the manga, it's all Naruto. But if you are watching along with us, we started the year watching the show Naruto, and we are now currently watching the show Naruto Shippuden. Again, if you're reading the manga, there is a time skip that happens. If you're reading the collected Tankobon versions of the manga, you're going to notice that the spine of the book, they change the color scheme, but otherwise it's not going to change the numbering or anything like that. It's not going to change the name, but if you're watching the anime, they're going to change the name to differentiate the pre-time skip and post-time skip storyline. So at the beginning of the year, we were still pre-time skip, although very close to the end. We were in the middle of the final mission. And in fact, at the start of the year, everybody so what was happening was we have our main character, Naruto, who's a young ninja in training. His teammate slash rival slash reluctant best friend, Sasuke, has been a dark, broody boy the whole time. And he has decided that in order to be dark and broody properly, and specifically to get revenge on someone, he has to leave their home village called the Leaf Village and join their enemies so that he can get stronger faster. He is off on his way to do that with the help of some enemy ninja, and Naruto and some of his friends go to stop them. They all split off into different fights, and they are in the midst of those fights and losing them pretty badly when some former enemies who are now revealing themselves to be current friends show up. That's the Sand Ninja, which is Gaara, Temari, and Kakuro. Those guys show up. They help the Leaf Village Shinobi win. Specifically, Gaara and Rock Lee team up against Kimimaro, who's the bone guy I mentioned in the intro. And they have one of the better fights of original Naruto, at least. And then we move on to another one of the better fights, which is Naruto confronting Sasuke in a place called the Valley of the End. And they have
the other place that it is called is Sakuga City.
Yeah.
It is the most amount of money that has been spent on a Naruto episode, or Naruto, or Naruto, or Nardog. The most money that was spent on a single episode of the show was the second episode of the fight, I believe. It might be the third episode.
Whichever
of the fight.
One where the Sakuga is, because it's not in all of them.
You can really tell when it happens because the artistic style completely changes, and the frame rate completely changes as well. It is very jarring for some people, and for other people, like me, it is one of the most amazing things that happens inside of the show, and I wish they would always animate them always that way, always.
Yeah, it's one of the things that makes newer anime like My Hero Academia great, is that they're doing the shorter seasons, and so they're able to have higher quality animation throughout. But you know, this is in the before times. And so, you know, you take what you can get, and, they have an awesome fight. Naruto ultimately loses the fight, but he wins something
sort of by choice.
Huh?
Sort of by choice.
I don't know. Maybe kind of. I mean, he doesn't want to lose, right? Because if he loses, Sasuke leaves the village and his whole deal is Sasuke. It's a lot. So he loses by choice because he doesn't want to kill Sasuke to stop him from leaving. And he's probably going to need to do that. Otherwise, he won't win the fight. And he's not willing to. But the slight victory here is that Sasuke is also not willing to kill Naruto, which he has said throughout this fight is one of his goals. Because nominally, one of the abilities that he has unlocks a superpowered stage by killing your best friend. And Naruto and Sasuke, while they hated each other in the beginning, have become best friends through the course of the series. So Sasuke decides at the end of this fight that instead of killing Naruto, he's going to go his own way and try to attain that level of power some other means. So he runs off, but Naruto is alive. Naruto makes a big promise to himself and to their other teammate Sakura that he will bring back Sasuke no matter what, and there will be a whole series about it, and that series is Naruto Shippuden. So Naruto...
Yeah, and we pick up with a couple of things. First is that we are going to be immediately thrown into a super time skip, which is going to be jumping way forward to when they are breaking into Orochimaru's hideout to find Sasuke. We are going to be seeing a little bit of that, and then we are going to go to the normal time skip, which takes you up to when the Akatsuki is going to abduct Gaara, and the reason that they are going to do this is because they are trying to pull the tailed beasts out of all of the different tailed beast users. They are going to capture and kill Gaara to take the tailed beast out of him, and then there's going to be a big puppet fight, and that's basically all that's happening in Shippuden so far, right?
Yeah, they're preparing to fight Deidara. Kakashi and Naruto went off to chase Deidara because he has Gaara's corpse and Naruto cannot handle it. So there's a fight coming up there, but it hasn't actually started yet.
Yeah. Okay. And that takes us to our final show of the year, which I would argue is one of the best shows that you as an anime watcher, if you are not on yet, because there's a big swath of people that that were brought in the original DBZ run inside of the United States, but there are also a lot of people that were brought in by watching like Naruto, or they were brought in by watching shows like My Hero Academia, who might not have this anime history and might not watch classical anime, and people mark this as classic anime now.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it's 20 years old or so, That's fair.
Yeah, so this show is called Yu Yu Hakusho. It is a show that you should absolutely watch if you have not. I believe that we started it last year.
Started it this year, actually, really early on.
Yeah. This one replaced JoJo's.
I think we finished. I think JoJo's ended at the end of last year, and so we picked this up.
Yeah. So Yu Yu Hakusho is about a guy named Yusuke Urameshi. He is going to sacrifice himself at the beginning of the show to save a young boy in the street. Because he sacrificed himself, he is given the opportunity to try to go through some trials in order to come back to life. He succeeds in doing this, is brought back to life. But they were like, hey, surprise, you're not done with us. You're going to become this thing called a spirit detective. And the person that is making him do this is named Kuenma. He is the son of the king of the underworld. He has a big dumb pacifier in his mouth at all times, and he is arguably I think I would call him a otaku of the Yu Yu Hakusho universe, because he's really all about watching everything that's happening in Yu Yu Hakusho, and he's probably creating like fanfic at the same time, talking to other demons in the underworld about Yusuke. He's done a lot of fan art. He started a whole subreddit. It's Kuenma.
Yep. So he sends Yusuke on a couple of missions. One of his very first missions has him fighting off against these two badass demons who he is able to not be killed by through a series of happenstances and good lucks and the demons not being as bad as they seem. One of those is Kurama. He is definitely the king of not being as bad as he seems. He's a super cool guy. He's actually a half demon, I believe. and he fights using demonic plants that he can kind of control, most notably as in the form of a whip that is like a thorny rose whip. And then
it's a rose whip.
Huh?
It's called Rose Whip.
Yeah. And then
it's a rose whip.
Then there's another guy named Hiei, who is definitely the Vegeta of this series. He is the, you know, badass anti-hero who theoretically, nominally wants to eventually fight Yusuke to the death. But after their initial fight, decides that they can be allies because Yusuke is not the worst guy ever. And the act of them fighting together is more advantageous than them fighting against each other. They also eventually, after fighting those two demons, they're going to kind of team up with them on a journey into the spirit world to fight four big bad boys. And along on that journey is Yusuke's frenemy, Kuwabara. They say that they hate each other, but actually they are super close friends because of the, I don't know, the meaning that they provide to each other's lives. So
arguably, I would say that the biggest reason that they're friends is that Kuwabara one time saved a kitten, and it was a thing that really pushed their friendship over the edge because they are both cat ladies in training, and they will eventually both own their weight in cats.
That sounds right.
And that's what I'm holding, and nobody convinced me otherwise.
Yeah, I think that's probably accurate.
Yeah, so some of their adventures include going to train and learn a spirit wave technique from an old woman, going to fight a four big bads inside of Big Bad Tower, going to stop a really evil jerk human from taking advantage of an ice princess that Kuwabara is going to fall in love with. Also, there's just like so much conversation about VHSs. Go check out those episodes.
Yeah.
The most important part, which is the Dark Tournament story arc, which gave us just my favorite thing of the year, which was a super long diatribe about pigs in the blanket.
The best.
Just my favorite thing that has happened inside of this show so far. I am marking off that we have met some of the most exciting voiceover actors that we have met, got to do some amazing cons, got some really fun things that have happened. But pigs in a blanket.
Yep.
Is the best thing that's happened to me because of the show. I'm just saying.
Yeah, and we're in the middle of the Dark Tournament now, so it's only going to keep getting darker and more tournament-y as we go into
2021. And more pigs in more blankets.
So we're going to talk next about some of the crossovers that we did, but before that, I'm going to take a quick bathroom break.
Okay. Well, I guess that's happening.
Yeah, it's going to happen without us taking
a break. Rashad.
All right, I'm back.
Okay.
I did not stop recording.
Sorry about that, Rashad.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So our first crossover for this year was a crossover with Mr. Anime Random, where we watched My Hero Academia Two Heroes. That's the very first My Hero Academia movie. There's been a second one now that we haven't watched yet, but, you know, we got a pin in that. So Two Heroes is just a little fun side story where our main character superheroes in training go off to an island full of superheroes. Some villains take over the security tech of the island in order to pose a challenge to those superheroes. The students that are the main characters of the series fight their way through those challenges, and it leads to a big showdown with our main character Deku and our main character hero All Might doing a 1-2 punch against a guy who is definitely not Magneto.
Yeah, that takes us into our next crossover, which is Mary and the Witch's Flower. This was a really exciting one that we got to do with Anime Out of Context, an anime podcast that I've been listening to for a long time.
Yeah, I still listen to them since this, too.
Yeah, it is a aggressively English movie that is definitely not Studio Ghibli. It's about a young girl who goes to Hogwarts because of a flower, and evil Kate Winslet is just like, I want that flower. And then there is a battle for said flower, and then the movie's over. The only thing I can say from this is the most unsung hero of the entire movie is a little man named Zebedee, and Zebedee is the most Zeba best. Anyway,
it's a good movie. It's weird. It's darker in tone sometimes than you would expect, but I think it's overall a pretty good movie for like kids and stuff. Then we watched Digimon the movie. This was a virtual convention. We did a couple of virtual conventions this year because we couldn't go to real conventions because of the stupid fucking pandemic. So virtual convention it was. We did Anime Iowa, which we had not done before, but was super fun. And I definitely did not scream fuck very loudly at one point, although it was PG-13 and you can say fuck once, and we only said it once, so I defend myself. So Digimon the movie, if you don't know, is actually a smushed together, weirdly cut together, and narrative editing via voiceover together of three more or less unconnected movies that in the original Japanese, they just released these short movies, the first and second Digimon movie relating to the first series of Digimon, and the third relating to the second series, which is a sequel to the first series. So Digimon the movie is the American version where they smash those three things together and use voiceover to tie them together in a way that does not actually happen in their original version. The first one is the very young versions of two of the main characters meeting Digimon for the first time in their lives. The second one is a super cool fight that takes place on the internet. And then the third one is it's the one that is served the least well by being chopped up and added to the first two. The original version is like an hour long, and in this movie, it's like 20 to 30 minutes long. So a lot of stuff makes it to the cutting room floor of the third one. In the American version, they're basically the new main characters of the sequel series go to America to help a movie-only character deal with a Digimon from his past that wants to return to the past because he misses those good old days.
Yeah, that takes us into the next episode that we did as a crossover, which was a really cool one. It was the movie Blood the Last Vampire, and we did that with Matt from Night of the Living Podcast. Crazy main character is a sort of vampire slayer named Seiya. She is working for the government, and she is going around killing vampires that are sort of vampires and also sort of demons and also sort of like big pterodactyl monsters.
They feel like a mixture of vampires and werewolves because they hulk out into big giant monsters.
Yeah, vamp wolves. Or werepires. So there's a big battle on Halloween inside of the school and takes us to our true main character, which is just the nurse having the worst day of her entire life. She is being super traumatized and gets even more so. But that's all to say it's a pretty cool, weird movie, and you should watch it.
Yeah, if you can, because it's hard to find.
Yeah.
Then we watched Demon City Shinjuku, and that was with Grant from Blade Licking Thieves. I remember almost nothing about this movie other than that it was a pretty fun watch with some just bonkers nonsense happening in it. Basically, some demons take over a city, and one guy maybe is able to stop the demons, and he's going to try to. And we re-released this episode last week, so you can listen to it and relive. It was one of our favorite crossovers we've ever done, so definitely worth re-listening to, which is a big reason why we re-released it last week. So if you missed the first time and you missed the re-release, this is a good opportunity to check that out.
Yeah. The next one is JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Part 4, Diamond is Unbreakable. We don't normally cover shows inside of our crossover episodes, but we were doing a crossover with JoJo's Bizarre Podcast, which is a podcast all about JoJo's Bizarre Adventure and other anime things. Part 4 is the best part of JoJo that we have watched so far. It completely leans into the dumbness and weirdness of JoJo, which is the thing that we have been waiting on. this whole time with JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Fewer poop jokes, more smart jokes.
Yeah. And so there's a new JoJo. He teams up with Jotaro from an older part of the series, and it's actually not terrible. You should definitely pick it up. And with that being said, man, I read the title of our next thing that we're covering, and I got nostalgic again.
Let's flippy flop this last one, because I want to talk about the one after this more than I want to talk about this one, and I suspect that you want to talk about this one more than I do.
Fine. Anyway, the one that we cover, the other one that we covered this year, before Blake talks about his fangirl moment, is Trigun Badlands Rumble. This one was part of Virtual KumariCon. We watched. It's just a great, great movie and a great standalone Trigun movie and just a great standalone anime movie in general. We watched this movie together a long time ago in a far off universe.
In an actual movie theater, which is a building that people used to go to watch movies.
Yeah. Cue the Star Wars scroll. and we were hanging out inside of Ohio, and we got to watch just a great, great movie unfold. It is super high quality. It is super fun. It is everything that you could want from Vash the Stampede.
Yeah. Also, to reiterate, it's a good intro to the show. If you've never watched Trigun, you can totally watch this one first to see if you'll like it. It's also in the middle of the show, so if you've already watched Trigun, you can watch this and you'll enjoy it.
Yeah. And then the last one is going to be one that Blake is obsessed with talking about.
I can fly
because
twice
he is obsessed
high.
With the show.
The castle is in the sky. So this is our most recent crossover. It's Castle in the Sky from Hayao Miyazaki. And we did the crossover with Jeff from Mother's Basement. And I was totally fangirling out the whole time. Not quite Troy meeting his hero, but pretty close. Jeff was awesome. Jeff is awesome. Mother's Basement is very good. You should check it out. They also have a podcast that I have not listened to, but it's probably pretty good because his girlfriend Yazzie seems awesome.
It's not on any podcast platforms. It's just like a YouTube only podcast, and I'm like,
yeah, that's not my personal speed. I'm not really into podcasts on YouTube. Some people are. Our podcasts are on YouTube, so if you're a YouTube person, you can like it there. But I like to listen to it and do other stuff, so that's not my thing. But they're really cool, and Jeff was just – he was so nice and also so – he's funny and he's interesting and he knows a lot about what he's talking about because he's been doing this for a long time. So I would say the Castle in the Sky episode is great when we're not talking about Castle in the Sky, because he has so many interesting things to say, including a long discussion about the end of Evangelion that we talk about at the end of that episode. That's just fantastic. But also Castle in the Sky is great. And so the parts where we're talking about it are also good. And basically it's, you know, some young Studio Ghibli kids getting pulled into a big, big adventure because there's a floating castle in the sky, and some people don't think it's real, but our main characters sure as hell do, and they're going to find it. And they fall in with some sky pirates who seem like bad boys, but are actually real cool dudes, and they're run by the Big Mom, and they are the Big Mom Pirates, and they all become friends, and they try to fight against the evil military, and also the military is... being partly run by a dude from the Secret Service in this world who is played by evil Mark Hamill. And they got to get to the castle in the sky before Mark Hamill can. And it's exciting and very, very good. And the episode is excellent. It's maybe my favorite crossover episode, but also that's definitely tinged by the fact that, like, I'm a big fan of Mother's Basement and have been for a while. So this was something I didn't think would ever happen. And it did. And I was very excited about it. But also the episode is just great.
Yeah. With that being said, we have the two pluggy plug plug things that we happened this year. The first one is that our new show, it starts on Mondays, or it is on Mondays. It's already started. Anyways, I said that wrong. Whatever. Screw you. I don't need to talk to you anymore.
Screw you.
And goodbye. Anyways, we started doing crossover, not crossovers. God, we
What's
started
wrong
to
with
do,
you?
I had a stroke. Anyways, so we started doing a Monday episodes with a really cool organization website thing called the Geekly Grind. We started doing these episodes called Weekly Jump, where we cover new and, updated manga / old manga anime, and we talk about them
mostly
in
new stuff,
reviews.
But we take requests or sometimes get confused about what's new.
Yeah. With all that being said, they have a just massive amount of content on the website, so you should go check out the Geekly Grind. You should also check out our friends that are part of the podcast network, and they are all equally fantastic. I would say that the one that is going to be, I don't think any of them are really close to exactly, our podcast.
Yeah. Which is part of the reason we're in their network, 'cause they needed us to fill a niche. So we do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, there are a couple of different ones if you're interested in them. The first one is going to be, but I think it's Comic Book Keepers.
Yeah.
I think is the full name of it.
It has.
They are a fantastic podcast that I have been listening to, pretty religiously since we became part of the network.
Yeah,
actually.
It's so good.
Yeah. The next show that is going to be, a brief explanation of who they are. They are a couple of comic book keeps that are going to be talking about their really cool set of comic books that they are covering at all times.
Yeah, it's basically a way to get a primer on different series or heroes or whatever.
Yeah. Then the next show that has been with the Geekly Grind Network for a while is Knights of the Rolled Table. Knights of the Rolled Table is a if you are into listening to other people play D&D, you're going to really like this show. If you are not one of those people that is interested in that, you will possibly still like it, but just be aware that it is that. So, you know, it's
I was disappointed to find out that I am not one of those people that enjoys that, but I still really respect what they're doing, and I think it's high quality. So I would say it's worth giving it a try if you've never tried that kind of thing. And if you have and you like it, you're going to love it.
Yeah. And then the last one, which is the newest addition to the Geekly Grind podcast network, is the Geeksploration podcast. It is a really fun podcast that just goes into geeky culture. It covers a lot of fun stuff that you will probably be reminded of from your childhood moments of listening to different podcasts or watching different shows, especially if you were one of those people that was like all about Adult Swim. They play around with that. They play around with Disney stuff. They play around with video games. There's a huge swath of things that they cover inside of the show. And it's really a fun listen. So you should definitely check it out. And the other plug that we have, is a very different one, but one that is very close to our hearts, because we have continued to try to do no sponsors on the show. We've done that for a really long time. We want to keep it that way. We're not super into switching this up, but recently we've had like a couple of patrons leave, which is kind of a little bit of a bummer, but with that being said, Patreon gives you some really cool things, and you should become a patron. And one of the things that you'll get is care packages from me. If you are at a certain level of listener or patron, that will include a button, sometimes a T-shirt, also random anime, manga, memorabilia things that were sent to us. So there's a lot of that stuff as well. And
free shit.
And then you will also get exclusive content, which is our episodes that are Patreon only. And that current covering is Bleach.
We've been covering for a long time. Bleach is long.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So
if you don't know about Bleach, stuff we covered this year on Bleach are meet the main character. It's Ichigo Kurosaki. He finds out that there are these spiritual monsters called Hollows that are big bad boys who like to eat people's souls. And there are spiritual fighters called Soul Reapers who fight them and try to stop them from eating people's souls. One of those Soul Reapers, Rukia, is trying to protect him and his family, and she gets injured, so he has to take over her powers. She basically loses all of her powers, and he becomes a substitute Soul Reaper fighting in her stead while she recovers in the form of a new student in his class. He fights a lot of monsters, including one that he learns killed his mom. He meets a classmate that's a guy named Uryu, who comes from a group called the Quincy's, who hate Soul Reapers. And he causes some problems around town by trying to prove that he is better than Soul Reapers. Some more of Ichigo's friends, Chad and Orihime, awaken their own powers during the catastrophe caused by Uryu. And then some Soul Reapers come in from Soul Society, where they live, which is kind of like heaven. Their names are Renji and Byakuya. They beat the shit out of Ichigo and leave him for dead. They take Rukia back to Soul Society with them as a prisoner who is presumably going to be put to death. And Ichigo is able to recover with the help of a guy named Urahara, who helps him re-unlock his Soul Reaper powers, but this time they are his and not borrowed from Rukia. And then a cat named Yoroichi helps his friends get stronger, and they all enter into a gate to go to the Soul Society and try to rescue Rukia. So if you want to hear all the details of that story, you can subscribe to our Patreon, and you'll get episodes that cover all the story up to that point. And if you want to hear what happens next, you can subscribe to our Patreon, and that's what we're going to be covering this year.
Yeah. The last things that we are going to be doing is, I would say, let's do our awards first and then do our ranking after that.
Okay.
Because our ranking, I don't think is going to super change this year. I think there's going to be some definite shifts, but you know, it's going to be what it's going
to
be.
Yeah, we'll go back over the ranking that we established last year to see if we want to shift anything around, and then we will add the new stuff from this year to it.
Yeah. So my argue for best OP of the year is definitely going to be Fire Force. You can't argue with me on that. I will stick with it until the end of time. It is just the most stuck in my head OP. I love One Punch Man, but dang, when
we didn't cover One Punch Man this year, so that's not really in the running.
Yeah, when we started doing like the Monday episodes and I got to watch more Fire Force as part of the coverage, I was just like, man, I'm never going to get this opening out of my head. It is so good.
I would say best OP for me, actually, now that I'm looking at it, I think I'm going to pick Hunter x Hunter. It's a really good intro. Strangely, they stick with the same song the whole time. And it's just, it's good. And the show has not been doing it for me this year, but I would say the OP is a bright spot for me.
Yeah. I would say best animation, I'm going to go with Kill la Kill. The biggest reason why is that I think Kill la Kill does its animation style perfectly. And I think that it is one of those shows that is never dips down in quality. Mm-hmm. And the only times where it ever has like a dip in quality, it is on purpose to make a dumb point, which is just fantastic.
I would agree with you, but I am going to pick the Super Sakuga fight between Sasuke and Naruto at the end of the original Naruto series.
Yeah.
And that's an asterisk. The original Naruto series actually has more than 100 episodes after that fight, but those are all filler and you can and should skip them.
Yep. Our next award is for best fight of the year. Yeah. And my best fight of the year is going to be pretty controversial.
Oh.
Because it is in a manga. And the best fight of the year is, I am completely caught up with My Hero Academia inside of the manga.
Ooh.
We did a coverage inside of the anime this year, and we ran up to this fight inside of the anime, but there is also it's just astounding fight that is both in the anime and the manga. It involves a character named Mirio, or Miro, or I haven't heard it really. Mirio, I believe.
Kitty Pryde.
Fighting against a big birded faced guy. It's not really a bird face, but you'll see what I'm talking about when you get to the fight. It is super spoilery, so I do not want to give away anything other than that.
Yeah, I'm not there,
but
so
it is,
you know,
it is one of the best fights that I've ever seen in anime. And that being said,
has it been animated or is it manga only right now?
It is an anime. It's in anime already.
Okay.
The manga version of it is arguably better than the anime version of it because the anime version of it is fantastic, but the manga version of it is just so nuanced. With all that being said, My Hero Academia is just a wealth of good things.
Yeah, that's so true. I am gonna do a host of the show, so I get to pick what I want choice for best fight, and I'm gonna pick the fight from Digimon the movie. That is basically just the second Digimon movie. It is the second part of the American version. It's called Our War Game, if you just want to watch the Japanese one. It's the fight with Diaboromon, or Diablomon in the original. It takes place a few times throughout the movie, and I think each of the fights are very good. The animation of this movie is really good. And it's a fight that I have returned to ever since I originally watched the Digimon movie in theaters as a child. And I think it's great. You could argue pretty successfully that there are some better fights this year, but that one has really stood the test of time for me, and I'm going to pick that.
Cool. The next one is our probably weirdest thing for us because we don't find anime as funny as a lot of people do all the time.
Yeah.
Funniest moment of the year for me by far is also from Kill la Kill. And it is the episode where they go back to the same joke over and over again, where random people are just going to crash their car and have to like pass on their need to complete their quest to the next person. It is so funny. It is so, like, the timing of it is just so good. I love that show so much.
Yeah, I'm gonna pick Mori King, I think. Mori King is one of the funniest things that I've read recently. One of the only times I have genuinely laughed more than once while reading a manga. I would also give Sakamoto Days an honorable mention here. I thought of that one first, but I've read more of Mori King. I think it's charming. The first couple of chapters at least had me laughing multiple times throughout the chapter. So I'm gonna throw it that way.
Cool. The most anime moment of the year that I have experienced is definitely God of High School. It is so anime, it's ridiculous. It is just cool fights for the sake of Rule of Cool. The story is definitely the second most important thing inside of the show after the fights. If you are shonen trash, it will be the most anime thing that you will want at all times.
I'm going to go a different way. I'm going to say at the most anime moment, there's a bit of a tie going on for me. Since I just brought up Mori King, I think there's a lot to be said that it's very, very Japanese, very anime to be a story randomly about keeping beetles and one of them being a presumptive king of the forest who is just a dude that has beetle parts sticking out of him. That's pretty anime. I would also say, though, I think my number one pick is going to be the fact that Kill la Kill is based around clothing giving you superpowers and disrobing people, beating them in a superpowered fight. That's just so fucking anime.
Yeah. Favorite content creators of the year for anime, I am going to give it up I think that I don't want to put it as anime as much as manga.
Using anime as a blanket term here.
Yeah, I think that in terms of manga, being able to be exposed to the wonder that is Kaiju number 8 is one of my favorite things. And also, Chainsaw Man has just been a complete eye-opening experience for me. And then for non-anime, but still anime adjacent, Blake has been super into watching... super into watching Mother's Basement for a long time, but I hadn't watched a lot of Mother's Basement as much as Blake has. And so I went back and I watched through a ton of Mother's Basement, and I can attest that is just fantastic content. If you love anime and you love really deep dives, you should definitely do that. And I want to give an honorable mention to a new animator that I have become obsessed with. And if he will come out with a new animation, I will be so happy, which is Ice Cream Sandwich. I love his stuff. He is on YouTube. He is an animator who does like these quick fun animations, but his comic styling is just so quick-witted. It's just so fantastic. A sort of sad one, but also I respect him completely, so I understand that whatever he's doing, it must be for a reason. We are seeing the end of BDG doing Unraveled.
That's tragic.
He released his last Unraveled yesterday or a couple days before that. It was a super bummer to find that out. But I completely understand where he's coming from, because he has said publicly a bunch of times that Unraveled is super fun, working at Polygon is super fun, but at this point he has built up such a following and such a big backing behind him. He can basically do whatever kind of content he wants to do. Because of that, he is going to be leaning into more weird stuff that he does with his other channel, which is just, I think it's just BDG on YouTube. And he's going to be doing more of those, which I'm like sad to see Unraveled go, but also super excited to see him do more weird stuff on his channel.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, Unraveled is his thing, so I wouldn't be surprised if he does Unraveled style videos here and there. Okay. Favorite content creators for me in the anime universe. I'm picking Mother's Basement. So good. Mother's Basement is just great. I know you picked it already, but that was what I was going to pick, so I'm picking it. I've talked about Super Eye Patch Wolf a lot. Super Eye Patch Wolf has definitely been diving more into a lot of non-anime stuff, and I would argue that the recent videos mean that he is more of a content that he likes channel rather than an anime channel, which is how he started. Still a good channel, but Mother's Basement is definitely an anime channel. It's just great. It's just consistently great. Almost all of his videos that he releases, I feel, are worth my time, because I've watched enough of his videos that I think I like his style. I like the way he writes, and I like the way that his videos are made. And so even if it's about a show that I am not aware of, or like a genre that I'm not usually interested in, I will consider watching it. And I usually watch about half of the videos that he makes about things that I don't think I would be interested in, and all of the videos that he makes about things that I am interested in. I just think it's great. Mother's Basement is totally worth checking out. God, we've shouted him out so much recently, but it's totally deserved. Breaking the rules by making my own rules, a sort of anime and a sort of non-anime thing that I just can't not mention, is the Polygon Pokemon Y Nuzlocke. Griffin McElroy, the founder of Polygon and previously a member of their team, made a video series years ago where he played through Pokemon Y using Nuzlocke rules, which, if you don't know, is a self-imposed difficulty challenge where if your Pokemon faints, you consider it to have been killed and you can't use it anymore. He also imposes a couple of other rules that are usually part of Nuzlocke's, and a couple of rules that are usually not part of Nuzlocke's or are part of variants to make Nuzlocke's more challenging. He is hilarious. He edits the videos such that you only watch moments in which he is doing something interesting or saying something funny. So it you can watch his entire playthrough of the game without any dead air. And God, it's just, it's so good. It is so funny. It is genuinely heart-wrenching at moments because some of the team members you develop a real affinity for, and you know, some of the team members are killed off through the course of the series, and that can be really tough to watch. It's just great. It's hilarious. It's fun to watch. It's so good. And then for non-anime things, I'm picking The Office Ladies. That is a new podcast. I think it actually started in 2019, but I don't think I picked it up until this year. I love The Office. And I think that The Office Ladies is an excellent rewatch podcast. It is a show in which the people who played Pam and Angela from The Office cover one episode a week. They talk about the background, their experiences of shooting those episodes. They answer trivia and questions from fans about those episodes. It's a real How the Sausage is Made kind of podcast, but it is done in such a way that, like, they have a great chemistry with each other. They have great chemistry as podcast hosts. They obviously know what the hell they're talking about. They're funny. They're interesting. So even if you're not quite into How the Sausage is Made, but you like The Office, I think you should check it out. It's just, if you have ever enjoyed The Office, it is worth seeing if you'll enjoy it, and I think you probably will.
Yeah. So anime we're most excited to watch. I would say that the one that I'm going to be diving into in my spare time is going to be Jujutsu Kaisen. I really, really like the first couple of episodes of it. I want to go deeper into it. I'm kind of waiting for the first season to completely wrap up because I like doing it that way. But that's my cover.
Okay, I was actually gonna to sort of split this into two categories. So I'm gonna throw the ball back in your court. Anime you're most excited to watch. You already picked one that exists. What anime are you most excited to watch that doesn't exist yet?
You already know it's Kaiju number 8. Oh, it's going to be you too.
I'm also picking Jujutsu Kaisen and Kaiju number 8.
We've done it. We've had a meeting of the minds.
Yeah, I haven't watched any Jujutsu Kaisen, but I have read the first chapter and I have watched a Mother's Basement video where he talks at length about Jujutsu Kaisen's anime, and it looks great. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to watch it. I'm very, very, very excited about it. And then, of course, Kaiju number 8 is darling of our show and darling of people that listen to our show. It gets a lot of chatter in the Discord channel that we have, which, by the way, we have a Discord channel. I want them to make Kaiju number 8 at the same studio that they made. I don't know if it's done in the style of Jujutsu Kaisen or Tower of God or My Hero Academia or One Punch Man season 1. There are ways that you can fuck it up. But even if they throw in CG and they do it like Decadence, there are so many ways this show could go right. And as long as they don't super mess up and go all CG, the kind of terrible, clunky nonsense, I think it's going to be great. All right.
And then we have favorite anime of the year. And I'm just going to go out on a limb I'm going to say that both of us are going to be in agreement on this because we've talked about it so much that there's no way we don't agree on it, which is that the best anime that we have watched this year in terms of being surprised by it and just being completely, completely delighted by it was Keep Your Hands Off of Isekai.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it has to be the best anime of the year. I cannot hear any arguments against that.
You know what? When I was thinking about this question, I was thinking more of anime that we have covered more deeply. I think you're right. If we bring in shows that we have watched only bits and pieces of, which you've watched, you have continued to watch Keep Your Hands Off Isekai since we covered it on a Monday pod. I think you're right. That's probably the best just from being high quality production, but also like good concept, good characters, all you know, all the pieces are good. I would say if we're going to pick something that we've covered more deeply, I was going to go with Yu Yu Hakusho for my anime of the year. I think it is just the potential pinnacle of shonen storytelling. It doesn't really have any fat that you could trim out of it, while also feeling like everything is given appropriate time and weight. You get so much bang for your buck when you're watching Yu Yu Hakusho. And I've just been truly delighted to finally be digging into that show. So I think you're right, but I think if you kind of approach the question from another angle, I'm going to pick Yu Yu Hakusho as well.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to give my ranking of the shows that we've covered on the show. And Blake, let me know if you want to switch any of these up, but I'm going to go with number 13 first.
Wait. We should cover. So I think before we should cover the ranking as exists, discuss if we need to shift anybody's position, and then add to it.
Okay. So number 10 is JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Part 2 Battle Tendency, which shall remain on the bottom of the pile.
Yep.
Then number 9, JoJo Part 1 Phantom Blood, arguably should also stay at the bottom of the pile. Number 8, JoJo Part 3 Stardust Crusaders. Get that mess back to where it is. Number 7, Naruto. I would argue that Naruto should stay where it is. I think it should stay underneath Dimension W, which I still hold is a underrated but still not as good as these other shows. Which number 5, Soul Eater. Number 4, Hunter x Hunter. Number 3, Fooly Cooly. Number 2, One Punch Man. And number 1, The King of All Kings, which is Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah.
I would say that shifting Soul Eater above Hunter x Hunter is going to be, in my opinion, the only switch that really needs to happen.
Yeah, but that's me. I remember last year you wanted to put Fooly Cooly higher than I did, and I agreed with you. So I still think it's maybe higher than I would put it, but I'm not going to argue for shifting it. I do think Soul Eater is a better cohesive whole than Hunter x Hunter. I think that's going to be a hot take and a controversial take, but I'm going to agree with you. I think that's a change we should make. I could make an argument that Naruto overall should go over Dimension W because it has such a cultural impact and has made such a splash in the anime and manga, but I'm happy with leaving it where it is now because Dimension W really deserves more love than it's gotten.
All right, so here are my arguments.
All right, so adding number one, new three, right? And we're treating Naruto Shippuden as a separate thing for the purposes of this ranking.
Correct. Yeah. So I would go first and foremost, Yu Yu Hakusho should be number 2. I love One Punch Man. I love the other shows, but Yu Yu Hakusho is not only classic, but it is just fantastic, and it remains fantastic and completely without filler. It's just a fantastic show.
So your argument is Bebop should stay at the top, but Yu Yu Hakusho should push everything down, including unseating One Punch Man as the number 2, putting Yu Yu Hakusho there. I'm going to agree with you. Yeah. I think One Punch Man season 1 is maybe a better time than Yu Yu Hakusho on average, but Yu Yu Hakusho is just such a well-done cohesive whole, and it's trying to do more than One Punch Man. One Punch Man is trying to be a show with great fights and a really good parody of shonen anime while also being a good shonen anime itself. It succeeds masterfully, but Yu Yu Hakusho is a straight-faced shonen anime that manages to do all that almost as well and sometimes better. I'm going to agree with you there.
All right. So my next one is Kill la Kill. I think Kill la Kill should be underneath One Punch Man. Kill la Kill for me is really high up there. And the biggest reason why is because it hits a lot of buttons for me. And one of which is that it does that rare thing of making me laugh out loud at the anime.
Okay, so your argument is that Kill la Kill should be our new number 3, pushing One Punch Man down further on the list.
No. Under One Punch Man.
Okay, so your argument, One Punch Man better than Kill la Kill, Kill la Kill better than Fooly Cooly. This one's challenging for me because I think, again, Fooly Cooly is higher than I'd like. It's a high-quality show, but it is in some ways designed intentionally to be hard to figure out because it's all about sort of the abstract experience of going through puberty. So for me, I would generally favor a show with a more cohesive plot over Fully Cooley. That said, I like Soul Eater more than Kill la Kill. So I would...
Yeah, I could hear that.
I would have a hard time putting Soul Eater up there. So this is one of the ways in which me compromising with you to put Fully Cooley higher than I would is giving me a hard time with Kill la Kill, because I would put Kill la Kill over Fully Cooley and under Soul Eater, but on our current list, Fully Cooley is over Soul Eater. So I would argue with putting Kill la Kill in spot 6, pushing Hunter x Hunter down, but putting it below Soul Eater. You're arguing putting it below One Punch Man and above Fully Cooley. So a compromise here would be to put it in number 5, pushing Soul Eater down, but keeping Fully Cooley where it is.
No, I think I can agree to move it below Soul Eater.
Okay.
That makes sense to me.
All right. And then once we're done with this, we'll go over the list again as it is in this year's iteration. So you guys don't have to be marking this down. If you're playing along at home, we will tell it to you.
All right. So, and the last one, which I'm going to argue, Shippuden, that we have covered so far.
Yeah, and this, again, the ranking is a list of anime. So, again, Naruto is a cohesive story. Shippuden is part of that story, but because we're separating it out as anime specifically, we're going to be marking it differently.
And it's also what we've covered up to this point.
Yeah, which is most of the first arc.
Yeah, so Shippuden up to this point is not as good as Hunter x Hunter. So I would mark it below Hunter x Hunter, and that's where I would land it.
I think I'm going to agree with you. That makes a lot of sense. And as much as we love Dimension W, Naruto is great. As I said, Naruto could be argued to be placed above Dimension W, but this is a good compromise, putting Naruto Shippuden above Dimension W. All right, so the new list, and this is, again, if we didn't make this clear, this is a list of all of the anime that we have covered on our show as a Friday pod. So it's a shorter list than I might have expected, now that we're 3.5 to 4 years in. 13 shows in total, and some of them ongoing. So that has the worst show that we have covered, in our opinion, at 13th place, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Part 2, Battle Tendency. Above that, 12th place, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Part 1, Phantom Blood. Above that, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Part 3, Stardust Crusaders. Above that, and I think the first show that we would tell you to watch, Naruto in 10th place. Above that, 9th place, the unheard of, unloved, totally deserves more attention than it gets, darling, Dimension W. Above that, Naruto Shippuden, specifically the first arc. Above that, Hunter x Hunter, which has fallen from grace but is still pretty good most of the time. That's 7th place. 6th place, Kill la Kill. 5th place, Soul Eater. 4th place, Fully Cooley. 3rd place, One Punch Man. This is the holy trinity so far of our show is One Punch Man. 2nd place, Yu Yu Hakusho. And 1st place, the unseatable champion, Cowboy Bebop.
Yep. The most exciting thing that's going to be happening in 2021, hopefully, is going to be more Cowboy Bebop, and I hope the live action series is good. And with that,
that's probably goodbye. The thing I'm looking forward to the most this year.
Yeah. With that, we say goodbye to a truly ridiculous year.
Great year for a podcast, terrible year for pretty much everything else.
Yeah. 2020, we hope you burn. And with that being said, stick with us after these credits and we'll talk about what's coming on next week.
Blake and Spencer Get Jumped is made by Forever Summer Productions and presented as part of the Geekly Grind podcast network.
Sound editing is done by Rashad English. He's our level 13 sound wizard.
13? Did he jump even more levels?
He gained a lot of experience by defeating the Dark Lord of Smooth Jazz.
Do you mean Chuck Mangione from King of the Hill?
Rashad is the King of the Hill now.
Damn it, Bobby.
Anyway, our podcast is ad-free, and if you want to keep it that way, please consider supporting us on Patreon.
Follow us on Twitter at @BandsGetJumped.
Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/BlakeAndSpencerGetJumped.
Or talk to us on Reddit at reddit.com/r/GetJumped.
Also, we have a Discord server. You can find the links to that on all of our social media platforms.
If you like the show, please like, subscribe, and leave a review. Reviews help other listeners find our show.
New review episodes come out every Monday, and new rewatch episodes appear every Friday.
And hey, thanks for listening.
Hello, anime fans. My name is Jeremy, and I'm the founder and editor-in-chief of The Geekly Grind, a site dedicated to all things geeky. From video games to anime, D&D, board games, comics, and more, since 2015, we've worked to provide fresh geek content and reviews every week. A big part of our content expansion has been the creation of our very own podcast network, of which this very show is a part of. And if you're listening to this, chances are you need no introduction to Blake and Spencer, who offer two shows every week covering anime and manga series, both new and old. However, if you're looking for more podcasts to fill your commute, or maybe your new working from home arrangement, we've got a few other shows to spotlight that would be a great addition to any Geeks Media menu. First, there's Comic Book Keepers, where you can join Lance and Chris as they discuss comic books, heroes, and their impact on our lives. If comics aren't really your thing, maybe you're looking to find something exciting out in the geekosphere, do a little exploring maybe, you can check out John and Ben's Geeksploration podcast. They cover a variety of topics from video games to the latest Disney announcements, game shows, and more. A real grab bag of geekdom and a fantastic addition to your weekly listening. Maybe you're a Dungeons & Dragons fan. Well, I would invite you to join the Knights of the Roll Table, a comedic and family-friendly audio drama featuring a cast of improv actors bringing their unique flair to D&D. Whatever your geeky interests, chances are we've got a podcast for you, and we're excited to offer convention access, giveaway content, and more as part of our continued partnership with Blake and Spencer Get Jumped. See you next time.
Next week on Blake and Spencer Get Jumped...
we're doing even more re-releases, y'all. We're going to be re-releasing the My Hero Academia movie, and then also one of our favorite weekly jumps that we've covered so far. It may or may not be the one that has Kaiju number 8. You have to stick with us to find out.
My money's on May.